You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
On the other side of the street, I knew, stood a girl that looked like you. I guess that's deja vu, but I thought this can't be true, cause you moved to West LA or New York or Santa Fe or wherever to get away from me.
This is not a drive-by. Joining me is Mike Musselman. What's up?
What's going on?
Nothing. Why didn't you answer the phone at 905? Because you wrote 908? Is that why you did that?
Yeah, 1108. You said 1105, which I knew was going to be a little bit later. So I said 1108 was my guess.
And I called right
at... You called me at 1107.
Right at 1105. No, you called me at 1107. It's 1108 right now. And so here's what he does. He just doesn't answer it. Nice.
That's
nice.
Not how it happens.
This is what a dick he is. He just doesn't answer that because he's teaching me a lesson. He said 1108. Oh, really?
I'm not that way anymore.
Oh, I'm not that... Is that a song? I'm not that way anymore. The,
Way anymore.
It is a song. I got to figure out who sings it. All right, so let's talk about you for a second, okay?
All right. Well, I don't like talking about me, but okay.
You love talking about you.
No, I don't.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so...
I used to be a narcissist. I'm no longer. I'm in recovery mode.
that is...
Narcissist Anonymous.
That is hilarious.
Hi, my name is Mike, and this is my friend Mike, and this is my best friend Mike.
Hey,
and they're great.
Where's Montana Man been?
Probably in Montana. Maybe a lion got him.
Yeah, a mountain lion. Yeah, he's been gone and not even been around. So, oh, hold on. He's texting now. Speak of the devil. His ears were burning.
He's listening. He's a faithful listener.
Yeah, he says, oh, he hasn't changed. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's your.
Send him a free pass to the PX.
That's true. He's got his new $50,000 truck.
That's good.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not as nice
as
your...
Don't be knocking on truck.
No. Whoa, listen to you. The guy who bought a Volkswagen diesel station wagon. Come on, man.
Hey, I'm not... I have a truck.
Now he moves to Texas with a Volkswagen diesel station wagon. What were you thinking? Explain the thought process of that. Because you're Mike.
First of all,
Mike's a truck guy.
First of all, it's a sport wagon. It wasn't a station wagon.
Okay, my bad. A sport wagon. It was a sport wagon. All right. So you're gonna retire. I've never seen Mike not in a truck. Only time he was in a truck was when he was in an Up Armored Humvee, or an MATV, or an MTVR, or something armored big. I've never seen Mike in a sedan, okay? And so explain the thought process of the Volkswagen diesel. Thank God there's a bunch of German liars so you could get that bailed your ass out of that one. But explain the thought process that went into you going down that road.
I like the diesel concept.
Okay, hold on. Montana Man joins us. Montana Man, where the hell you been, man?
Well, I was in Idaho the first week of the month, and then it's just been sand to frickin' lyrium here at the ranch since then.
Why? What happened? Poor leadership again?
No. No, we're moving cattle. I got four interns now, so keeping them from not breaking my shit is kind of at least a part-time job, and then keeping them going in the right direction takes the other half. So it's just been busy. And then we've had guests out, the owner's been out fishing.
Hold on. So you were the executive officer of Mike. How many guys were in? How many human beings were in RCT 1?
Thousands.
So you were the executive officer, that's a second in command for everybody out there, of thousands of Marine sailors. We had Army guys, we had some Air Force EOD guys, and women involved in RCT-1, and you could do that on a daily basis. And supervising four interns is kicking your ass in Montana?
Yeah, that sums it up.
This is amazing. Mike admits that he's a narcissist, and you admit that you have poor leadership skills. That you have poor leadership skills all in the same hour. 15 minutes, for God's sake.
But you get them started on a project, and then you get them going the right way, and you think, okay, I can go do something else now.
Oh, really?
And then you come back an hour later to check, and they've somehow veered about 90 degrees off course. Unexplained, and they can't explain it to you. How the hell did you end up over here? Well, you know this, that, and the idea. Go back to where you were.
Oh, so you obviously never supervised a Lance Corporal before.
These guys, they're good kids.
Yeah,
they're
different to, are the Marines are easy to, you know, you own them.
What do you mean? You just said yesterday to me, you know what? One of the reasons I've been, like, angry my entire life is I've been dealing with stupid people that do stupid things. That's almost a verbatim quote.
Yeah, but we're not talking about the Lance Corporal. I was doing the opposite.
Nice. Well played, Maurer. Well played. All right, and so would you call these more officer types or enlisted types that your interns? Where do they come from? Who are they, hand selected?
They have been hand selected. They're probably more the officer type. One's going to be his major is biochemistry at University of Texas. The other one just changed its major to construction science or something like that. And then the knuckle dragger of the bunch, who's freaking destined to be an infantry officer, is he's studying agricultural communication.
Yeah, he's got potential then.
Yeah.
The other guys are too smart. Why would you pick them? Why would you pick them to be an intern? You know what? You're a poor judge of talent. That's what you are.
No, these kids are good. And then two of them, this is their second year here, so they are they can figure some stuff out, you know. But when I was in Idaho, I leave them a giant list of stuff to do. Then last year when I did that, I came back. I mean, they called me like 2 days in and said, hey, we got that list done. What do you need done next? And this year I come back. There's a spare tire on the ranch truck. Evidently, they blew a tire.
That happened.
The ranger has the dashboard pulled off and the center console's hanging by some wires.
Yeah.
And I haven't seen them yet. I just pulled into the shop.
Well, they probably thought there was opium packed in the air conditioning system and wanted to check.
Well, what they ended up doing was, and then there's a belt from the Razor, a $20,000 dune buggy that's just shredded kind of all across the shop floor. So I finally get my hands on them. And said, what the hell happened? And evidently there was a pack rat that packed the vent and the transmission of the Razor, so it overheated and burned up the belt. And then the Polaris side-by-side, that thing, the switch quit working for the weed sprayer, so they'd tear that apart. And then they hit a rock and blew up the tire on the truck. And my list was only about half done. I think they went to town probably once or twice a day in that week.
Of course, you have
That's a time eater. I mean, yeah, that'll eat your time up there. So they got less done, but god dang, this truck is fast.
Would you say your truck is fast? Okay, now hold on. We need to hit the pause button. Mike, you want to comment on any of that?
No.
Okay.
He's dealing with it.
All right. No. Obviously, he's struggling up there. Mike, now talk about. Now, hey, Montana man, hold on. Mike's telling the story about why he bought the Volkswagen diesel-powered station wagon. It's a sports wagon, Mike?
Yeah, it was.
Okay, it was. It's no longer part of the Musselman Motor T inventory.
Collection, yeah.
Exactly. Talk to us about, give us the thought process that steered you in that direction.
I just thought it was the right move. I like diesel.
I know, but you're a truck guy.
I like diesel.
Why?
Because I got rid of the boat. I didn't need a truck anymore.
So you get rid of the boat, you're going to Texas. But you know the social, you roll up to Bucks in a diesel station wagon, and like, oh, here comes Mike. What's up? What's Buck drive? Does Buck drive a truck?
Yeah.
Does Ralph drive a truck?
Mm-hmm.
And you're rolling around in your Volkswagen diesel station wagon. So at what point did you say, you know what, this is a bad move. I gotta get out of this.
Oh, right when I moved to Texas, I was getting but that was the whole, I couldn't sell it because it was that whole lawsuit thing. I had to wait for that to go.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. That was, I'll tell you what, how about that? A little bit of manna from heaven that God bestowed on you. I'll get you out of this, Musselman, you dumbass. All right, let's get an update on Montana Man's new truck. First of all, did you really spend $90,000 on a truck? Is that possible?
Oh, yeah, you can spend $90,000 on a truck easy.
You can? Hey, Montana Man, are you there?
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out this
audio
deal. Can you hear me?
I can hear you now. So you're the Bluetooth thing is like a mystery for you? Go get one of those college kids. They'll explain it to you.
Well, I got it figured, but... I mean, I can barely hear Mike, and I've got, you know, your moderate volume, and I've got the volume cranked all the way up, so I think there's, like, some kind of setting that I haven't quite figured out yet.
All right, well, that's a shocker. We'd expect you to figure that shit out, because you're a pretty smart guy, and so this is really surprising. So explain, how do you spend $90,000 on a truck? What does this truck do?
It's $70,000. So, no, it does everything. I mean, I had to special order it because I couldn't find one that I liked. And I finally just said, screw it. You know, I'm at a point in my life that I deserve a nice interior. I mean, when you get in my truck, my old truck, I mean, it's like a ranch truck.
Right.
So, but now, this is like your... I don't know how to describe it. I mean, of course, leather everything, Longhorn edition, two-tone cattle stand, air-conditioned seat. Every option
is
available.
What is an air-conditioned seat?
You can either heat your ass or cool your ass.
Wait, say that again?
And your lumbar.
Okay. I got an email for you guys. Hey, Mac, would you ask these two bitches when the Yankees sweep the Red Sox on Friday night, on Friday through Sunday, when Monday rolls around, are they both going to call in and beg for forgiveness? All right, bitches. Fess up. Are you both?
Well, even if they do sweep them, the Red Sox will still be a half game up.
True.
Believe they're still 3-0.
That wasn't the question. The question was, are you two bitches going to call up and confess about the ways of your life? Yes or no?
I guess my previous answer didn't. Yeah, they're still half a game up. So I'll call in and say, hey,
yeah,
you guys are tied with Tampa Bay, for Christ's sake. Give it a rest.
I'll take that as a no. Okay. All right, just checking. No way. No reason to get angry, bro. It's all right. All right. The now that we got that out of the way, so are you fired up? Big, we're in July, and the Red Sox in first place by 3.5 games. Yes.
Yeah, it's still early though. I mean, I'm not overly excited.
It's not early. It's at least midway through. This coming up on the midway part of the season. The All Star break is kind of the ceremonial halfway point, but it's not early anymore. I mean, come on, man. There's teams that are out of it now.
Yeah, that's true.
All right. So give us an update, Montana man. You left. What'd you do? And did you go doing your horseshoeing business back in Idaho, or just take a little time off?
No, yeah. We went back to Idaho, shoot horses for a week. Actually took a day off. My first true day off on the 4th of July in probably 2 months. So that was nice. I didn't think I could sleep till 9 o'clock in the morning, but shit, I think I was tired. I slept till 9 o'clock in the morning.
What, did you go to the Testicle Festival?
I did not. I was not back in Idaho for that this year, so we did not make it. But there was like 350 people there.
Wow.
In the paper.
Yeah, people have not forgotten about that. I still get occasional emails about it. The
you need to get it on your calendar.
Hold on. Email. Hey Mac, I hope we can do a little bit of gun talk today. We always do gun talk. When the gunner's here, we talk guns. By chance, I know that in Texas they have a lot of lever action rifles, kind of the old west kind that we used to see in westerns growing up. Does Mike have one? Is there any recommendations he would make relative to buying one? So, Mike, you have lever-action rifles down in Texas?
No, I don't. Ralph, man, I'll tell you, Ralph's collection of lever-action rifles, he has, like, some of the, you know, most expensive that you can buy, one-of-a-kind type things, man. He's got the Old West one. If you're going to buy him...
Have you fired any of Ralph's lever-action rifles?
No. But if you're going to buy them, don't skimp. Get the good, you know, spend the money. Get the quality collectible ones.
Buy the $70,000 version. Montana man, here's another gun email. Hey, gun question for Montana man. Is he going to throw a rack in the cab and throw a shotgun or rifle in it? You can do that in Montana, I understand. Hello?
Yeah, always. Yeah. I got rifle slings behind the front seat. So I carry usually a big gun and some kind of .22, .250, .204, some smaller for shooting coyotes and such.
So you're armed rolling around Montana and Idaho?
All the time. And on the lever action guns, I've got two. I've got a Model 94 Winchester, which is kind of your standard go-to. Everybody, if they ever held one, has probably held that one. But I don't use that because it was one of the last ones made in America. Winchester sold that branch or moved the manufacturing to somewhere other than America. So I put that one in the case and don't use it, and bought a Marlin version of the same type of thing in 30-30, and that's what rides in the saddle on the horse, because I just beat the crap out of that. It's a $400 gun that you're not too upset when, you know, your horse lays down with your gun on it and stuffs it full of mud.
Got it.
Yeah, buy a beater lever, but always stay with Winchester. Winchester lever action rifles.
Nice.
That's solid.
Another email question here. Hey, Mac. Good to hear Montana Man back on the air again. I love it when you guys do this. You guys have your own special chemistry. It's a mixture of hate and humor that makes this really funny. It's not hate, exactly.
It's not hate. It's sarcasm.
Question. Does Gunner have a cowboy hat, and does Montana Man have a cowboy hat? And second question, how do they roll? Do they roll cowboy hat, or do they roll baseball hat, or do they roll slick? Boys, fess up.
How do you roll?
What?
But first of all, let's clarify something. They're not cowboy hats. They're hats.
They're hats? Oh, it's just a hat? Well, you can have it. What about baseball hats?
That's a hat as well. A cap, yeah.
Oh, that's a cap and a hat and a hat. Okay, so here's the question: do you have a hat, Mike?
Yeah, I got a few hats.
You have a few hats. How do you roll? Do you roll slick as a rule? Do you roll cap or do you roll hat?
All three. I mean, I do. It depends on what I'm doing.
Okay, but as a rule, what do you do most?
I probably a third, even 33.3%. All three.
Nice. Well done. Well done. Montana man, what about you?
I don't know how many cowboy hats or hats I've got. They're seasonal and they're job specific. The one I normally wear in the summer is if I'm outside, then I got it on because I am German Irish and it's freaking sunny. So I've got a big wide ass cowboy hat that, whenever I'm in the sun, that's on my head. If I'm going to town, I'll put a ball cap on just because there's no need. I'm not going to be in the sun. So my hair is usually all jacked up. I don't want to look like a slob while I'm in town, so I'll put a ball cap on.
What kind of ball cap? Do you have a go-to ball cap right now?
Standard Cougar Basin Farrier Service issue for my business.
Cougar Basin Farrier Business. 82 degrees right now and sunny in Big Timber. 92 degrees and mostly sunny in Granbury, Texas, just so everybody knows. Those are current weather conditions of our two guests here.
I was out with the power washer this morning in the back. That was fun.
The power washer, you can just annihilate things with that thing. What PSI do you have it turned up? Do you have it maxed out?
Yeah, well, I had the delicate setting on because I was doing the eaves on the back of the house and then the back patio.
It's hard for me to respect you if you have it on the delicate setting.
What are you doing, chip paint, Max?
How many PSI is that pressure washer?
Like 3,000? Or 3,200 or something? 3,200.
Okay, yes or no?
It's the big gas-operated one.
The big gas-operated one. Could you, like, remove your driveway with that thing?
No, the driveway is concrete, so when I get out there, yeah, it changes color.
You can come close to blasting your driveway out with that thing.
I actually hit one of the support beams on the windows. That's it's like a stained wood, and it ripped the stain right out. So I had to restain the damn thing. It discolored it like you wouldn't believe, man. It's crazy.
The my friend, my roommate, my college roommate who lives in San Diego, he had one, and I was staying at his house after we got back from Afghanistan. And so we're talking. He's out, like, doing his back patio, and he's got it on, like, Mike's delicate setting. And I said, turn that thing up all the way. And he's like, I don't want – come on. And I said, come on, man, just do it. So he does it. He's one of those guys who will do anything if you dare him to. Like one of those kind of friends, so you always want to hang out with him because he'll do the stupidest stuff. Going, if you say, "Oh, what are you afraid?" Like, I'm not afraid. Yeah, then why won't you throw that brick through the window? Like, I'll do it.
Mine changes. I have different nozzles that change the PSI.
Yeah, that's what he has. They're colored. Is it color coded and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like five different nozzles.
So I thought, you know, like, let me stick my toe in front of it and see what happens.
Oh shit! Nice. You're lucky you still got a toe, man.
You know what? I'm lucky I still got a toe. It went through my toe. It went through my flip flop. And I looked down, and he's like, "Hey, you're bleeding." I'm like, "Yeah." Like, what's up with that? I'm like, "Who knew that was that powerful?" So just listen to everybody out there. If somebody's got their pressure washer on, keep your toes away from it, man. It'll ruin your toe and your flip flop.
It'll mess you up.
Text message from the vicinity of the San Diego Mexican border. Morning, Colonel. Looks like you're still dipping in that truck. So, Montana man, are you still dipping, or are you attempting to quit? What do you have going on?
I cut down about by half. I just tired of dealing with the heartburn and just said, you've got to, finally, after 20 years of my wife saying, you know, you'd probably feel better if you quit dipping. Well, yeah, I know, but I'm not ready. So, yeah, cut down by half. Heartburn went away, but, yeah, still decent size dip in the morning and one in the evening.
That's not a bad habit, though.
No, it's disgusting.
No. Smoking is a bad habit.
No.
That's disgusting.
No. Dip in coffee.
Now, unless you drink my spit bottle by accident. Yeah, that's disgusting.
Dip in coffee together and then in a close proximity conversation could knock a buzzard off a shit wagon, okay?
That's a pretty black coffee and some Copenhagen.
There you go. I'll tell you what, that is like chemical attack. Whoop, boom, boom. Now, what talk to me. Mike, do you spit or swallow the juice?
I spit now. I don't got any more. Can't do that anymore.
Montana man, do you spit or swallow? No, here we go. Are you driving? Where are you going? Are you in your truck driving?
I am. I'm going freaking fishing, man.
You're going fishing? Mike, you know what? You can't even hear. If he's driving, you can't even tell that he's driving. That's
amazing. I know.
That's amazing. I've never heard of any vehicle like that. Maybe the president.
Yeah. We sent the interns on a guided fishing trip with a buddy of mine, and then I get a text this morning, hey, freaking Billy can't make it, he feels sick. And I said, well, shit, we got extra spot on the boat, I'm hopping in the pickup, I'll meet you guys on the river.
Nice commitment to work.
Yeah, no, and the boss man was supposed to show up today, and he didn't, so my calendar became wide-ass open all of a sudden.
Wow, you're lucky.
And an open seat on a freaking guided fishing trip on the Yellowstone, not a hard decision.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. Mike, are you a fisherman?
No, not really. I mean, I don't mind fishing. I'm not a fisherman, though. No.
Yeah, I don't like it either. I think it's like, if you ask me, and I was not being careful about what I said, I would say that, like, fishing's for stupid people. Doesn't
now? How is that?
Like, what do you? You're competing with a fish, yes or no?
Yeah, but you got to figure out fish, and you got to figure out what the fish are eating,
which
time of day, where they're going to be hanging out at that time of day. I mean, it's a thinking man's game.
Which I guess would be an even competition for you, but for me, it's like not a competition. Yeah, I've never. And I'll tell you what, I don't endear myself to anglers anywhere when I say that, but it's just like, come on, that's exciting. Okay, we're gonna go through all this work, we're gonna get in a boat, and then we're gonna like drop the line in the water, and then we're gonna sit there. Hey, Larry, what's up?
That's not fly fishing. Watch The River Runs Through It. Like Brad Pitt.
You're going fly fishing.
That's the only way I fish.
Yeah, well, you know what? I can support that. It's just this, you know, we're going to go catfish fishing on the Red River, and we're going to go get our ass chewed by mosquitoes. And come on, Mac, it's awesome. Like, yeah, no, it's not. Okay, that's not fun. I know what fun is. That ain't fun.
The only good thing about that kind of fishing is it's an excuse to drink beer and sit around with your buddy.
You don't sound like you need an excuse, though. You sound like you do okay.
Yeah, I do. That's probably true.
You drink more than... I think you drink out of all of us. You drink the most out of all of us. Mike, do you drink that much?
Drink what?
Liquor.
No. I barely drink it at all.
Yeah, I barely drink it. Montana Man, you're like the boozer of the group because you're always drinking.
No. I barely drink. I haven't drank hard liquor in, I don't know, a decade. But I do like a beer at the end of the day.
Okay, tell me if this is right, because I think it's bullshit. Go upper lip, minimal spitting, and no swallowing. Then where does the juice go? Just because you transfer it to your upper lip.
That's, who said that?
Ohio Man. He's a Hawk. Hey, he's a Hawk missile guy.
Yeah, okay.
Switch to your upper lip?
No.
Yeah, go upper lip, minimal spitting, no swallowing. Then where does it go? Does it evaporate?
No, it's the same as a small dip in the lower lip at that point.
A small dip in the
lower lip. There's no need to spit. Yeah, because you can't freaking pile a bunch of snuff into your upper lip, so...
There's not enough for that.
I'll tell you what, man. That Copenhagen, that's nasty. That Copenhagen, it's strong. Oh, man. It's disgusting. And I grew up around, I grew up wanting to chew tobacco because my dad did it as a baseball guy. And, you know, and they're spitting leaf all the time. And I thought it was the coolest damn thing. And every time I tried to put leaf in my mouth, I would almost vomit. I'd get that stuff in my nose, and I'd be fighting it to get it in my mouth. But I could dip, but I could, to swallow the juice? Good God, man, that's like barbaric. When did you start?
I used to. I stopped what we called gutting it. Yeah.
You stopped gutting. How many years did you gut it for?
Oh, a long time.
Oh. Man, and you wonder why you had to have your gallbladder out? Nice. Nice.
That wasn't because of that.
What was it? What caused that?
I don't know, but it wasn't that. I mean, I'm not a medical professional, but I know it wasn't that.
All right. Hold on, another question for Montana Man. Mac, I love fly fishing. It's the most exciting kind of fishing. It's active. You're on the move the whole time. I agree with you. The whole sitting in the boat, dropping a line, I think that's bullshit. But fly fishing's fun, especially if there's a little bit of current, because you never know when you're going to get knocked down and might drown to death. So it's always a good time. Montana Man, do you endorse that?
I do. I like smaller creeks. I mean, we're going to be on the Yellowstone, so it's kind of a drift boat type of setup, but the creek on the ranch is about my favorite type of deal. You're wading for miles and fishing hole after hole. It's just it's a great way to spend a day.
So you put on the waders in the whole nine yards?
Yeah, this time of year, wading in wet wading, so just wader boots and like a nylon pants that dry out real quick after you fall in.
Really? So it's a nylon pant with wader boots? I thought it was just one's kind of ensemble that was like a set of overalls that had suspenders on them, and you waded in wearing those. That ain't the way you do it?
That's early in the season and late in the season, yes.
Why cold water?
When you want to stay dry.
Yeah.
Yeah, when the water is that cold. But now it's going to be 90 freaking degrees today, so I'm going wet wading, and I just missed my turn.
Your $70,000 GPS system wasn't working?
Well, I'm going off a text right now, so... And this is like a non-disclosed freaking boat ramp that, like, nobody knows about. I'm being talked on to so I can do a tricky link up on the river.
Nice.
These guys have been fishing for an hour already, so I'm catching them kind of in stream. and the directions didn't make sense, and then all of a sudden I just saw the road, and now they do. So
all right.
I'm just about there.
All right. Another email. Mac, did I hear right? Did you say $70,000 truck?
Yeah. Yeah.
What's the best feature in a $70,000 truck? Colonel?
Well, right now, I think it's the freaking ass-cooling feature of the air-conditioned seat.
Explain that to me. I'm not understanding the ass-cooling feature. Does the air circulate inside the seat?
You know the heated seats?
Yes.
Yeah. So you flip a switch to cool, and the seat gets cold. I mean,
how do you know about
that? Not rocket scientist. Oh. My wife's got it in her car.
Oh, we're going to go there? It's not rocket science?
We're not trying to put something in orbit, for Christ's sakes.
Oh, really?
It's just cool air freaking gently massaging your ass.
Cool air on your ass.
Rocket science.
Cool air circulating around your ass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Again,
it's pretty nice.
Not trying to land somebody on the moon, man.
Gunner's developing a fan club, to be honest with you. Yesterday, his gift to the program, the only thing science got right is gravity. That was a Gunner's gift. I got an email about that later. That guy's hilarious. I mean, he's not that funny. He says those kind of stupid, obvious things, and everybody's like, oh, man, he's really smart. I'm like, he's not. Trust me. So, he comes up, and then these Marine Corps simplistic universal truths kind of thing. What was the one before that?
What's that?
Although animals fascinate stupid people.
Yeah.
See, that's another classic. That's another classic one. All right. So, hey, Montana man, before you go, you got any good animal stories for us lately?
I got our bulls are, so we turned bulls out about 6 weeks ago. So they'll get 60 days on cows. So they're coming to the end of their tour of duty. And, you know, we spent $35,000 on bulls for six of them. And right now, I think I've got about 3.5 bulls working. They're younger bulls, so they don't quite understand that, hey, if I break away from these other bulls and find a small group of cows and test them, I won't get my ass kicked.
So wait a minute. So you rent the bulls to impregnate the cows? Is that what you're doing?
We don't rent them. We buy them.
Oh, you bought them. Okay. All right. And that's not working out for you?
No, they're working. They're just kicking the shit out of each other. I got one that I thought he broke his shoulder. You know, that's a $7,500 bull that I thought I was going to have to put down. Good news is he's only got a really bad strain, so he's laid up. And then I had another one that hooked his foot in the wire and damn near friggin' ripped his foot off. I think we got him semi-patched up, and he's laid up, so they're all pulled out of the herd. And then yesterday we were moving cows in the morning, and I look at our number 58 bull, and his whole head is bloody. These bulls don't have horns, from just butting heads with the other bulls. And I'm thinking, man, these guys aren't going to make it to the end of the season. And you've got to have them. Because, I mean, cows don't get pregnant. You don't get paid, not this fall, but next fall. You know, your calf crop won't be there.
Right.
You expect those bulls to breed up. If you're lucky, you'll get a 90% breed up. And we'll do preg checks in probably late August, early September. And if you have cows that aren't pregnant, you basically just sell them. And then you got to go out and either make new ones, or go out and buy new ones. So it's a big deal if these bulls don't work. But they're...
Are they working?
They're working. And
working?
Oh, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I mean, I'll tell you what, if they're not working, maybe you could put them on a ship for a few weeks and then bring them ashore and see if that helps them out. My, Mike, any suggestions?
We basically did that.
Simple like that.
We had them over the fence from the cows for about 2 weeks before we turned them out. And then when we turned them out, we grouped up. We had about 85% of the herd in about a 400-meter circle, and we pulled the trailer up with these six young bulls in it and just opened the trailer gate.
Yeah.
And you should have seen, I mean, they it was like, just like you said, it was like being on ship for friggin' 6 weeks and not getting a libo for it and also friggin' all of a sudden rolling into friggin' Patio Beach.
Whee!
It was game on.
And so how do you know who's doing what? How do you know who's pregnant? You do pregnancy checks?
Yeah, we'll give them about 2 months and then preg check all the cows, bring them in, and vet puts on the giant plastic glove and reaches in there and sees that it can't feel anything.
Who does that?
The vet. Veterinarian.
Oh, God.
The vet.
Yeah. So, not me.
How's the horse that busted through the razor wire? Or the mule?
The little mule, she's doing good. She's all healed up. I had to pull it. I stopped counting at about 40 staples, and I think we had like another 20 stitches in there, and she didn't appreciate much getting them pulled out either.
That's all right, though. She'll love you for it later on in life.
I'm not sure about that.
Well, you don't think she...
But, yeah, so just...
Why do you guys not think that animals have feelings? Mike, I want to shoot, I want to go bow hunting with the... But I don't want to kill the deer. I just want to, like, shoot them with a rubber tip arrow just so the deer knows that I could have killed them, but I spared his life. So he'll go, yeah, thanks, bro. I appreciate that. And Mike, shit all over me yesterday for that.
Well, they do make blunt arrows. You could do it. I mean, I've never actually heard of anybody doing that, but
Rob,
you could do it.
You shoot a blunt arrow, a blunt tip arrow through a crossbow at an animal. It's not going to bounce off.
Well, maybe not a crossbow. I thought he was talking about like a regular compound bow.
Or a compound bow.
280 feet.
Anything with that power. Yeah, if he does it with, like, the shit he goes and buys at, you know, a Target or something that has, it's like a plastic recurve, maybe, but then it just gets a suction cup.
No, I've done it.
Don't take
with,
the suction cup off.
What did I shoot? I've shot a few things with blunt arrows. I think I shot a cow with one.
And what happened?
I shot a bull with one. It bounced off, but it was a bull.
There you go, Gunner. Take that.
No, he didn't do it with a compound bow, though.
Oh yeah, I did.
Boom, bitch.
Yeah, that was.
Oh, then you got a. Bow. That's a sorry ass compound bow.
I couldn't
never.
Hey,
get
I could not pay you enough for what you just said.
He shot the damn cow at like 300 yards or something when the arrow is already on its downward arc.
Hey, enough out of you. Yeah, animals have feelings, okay? Deal with it, Mike. Hater.
Yeah, whatever.
I don't know if they have feelings, yeah.
Why don't they think they have feelings? Does Fat Jack have feelings?
Yeah, he's a dog. He's not a deer.
What's
the
difference?
Fat Jack knows that when I spank his ass, that he's done something wrong. A deer roaming through the forest that gets smacked with a blunt arrow isn't going to be like, hey, bro, thanks for not killing me. That's not the way it works.
You don't know that. What are you like?
I'm pretty sure.
What are you like, deer whisperer? You don't know shit.
I'm with Rob.
It is part of my job.
I think the last thing that the deer's thinking is going, geez, man, that was really nice of you. I'll keep my ass kind of more in concealment.
Hey, your shit just got put on notice, okay? Your shit just got compromised.
Oh, whatever.
That was worth paying for, boys. Let me just tell you that right now. Okay, Mac, I'm actually fired up about the Yankees-Red Sox series tonight. It ought to be good. After the All-Star break, everybody be ready to go. Predictions. Predictions. Montana Man, Yankees-Red Sox series. What do they play, three or four games? I thought they played four.
Three, isn't it?
I don't know. I thought they played.
I don't know if it's four.
I thought they played four because remember they had a rainout.
Are they playing a doubleheader one day?
I think so. The Red Sox released Pablo Sandoval today.
Dude.
Yeah. Yeah. That's but you know what? He sucked. He sucked. They're doing great without him. So they one of the Yankees. Starting pitchers, Michael Pineda, needs Tommy John surgery. That's not good, boys. That is not good. So,
if you're a Yankee fan.
All right, so.
Hey, it looks like they're playing a doubleheader on Sunday.
Did your $70,000 truck tell you that? I noticed you were conversing about the Yankee series. They play four games this weekend. Whoa, what the hell?
I was reading the manual last night, and I think you can do that.
I'm sure you can. Are you kidding me? What about will your seat sense the temperature of your ass and then adjust? Like, is it like thermostatically controlled ass cooling heating, or do you have to manually?
Well, your overall portion of the cabin is you set a temperature, and your ass is cooled appropriately to maintain that temperature.
Yeah. It's nice.
So, Gunner, does your Volkswagen station wagon have that in it?
I don't have that anymore.
Oh, so your new pickup? Got it?
No, I don't have that. I don't need that. It's just the ass shit.
You were just saying it was the greatest thing ever, and all of a sudden, now I've got it. It's just the ass shit.
Hey, Colonel, you know he turns on you in a heartbeat, man.
It's just a matter of when in the conversation it's going to happen.
Exactly. All of a sudden, it flips up down. It's upside down. They play a doubleheader. They play a doubleheader on Sunday, so there is four games. Hold on, I got an email for you.
I'm not the bad guy here.
hold on. This is actually a moderately entertaining conversation. I think you guys are funny. I still think the Gunner's stories about being in the C-130 and going up the river with the SEALs are the funniest stories I've heard on this program yet. They are two of the funniest. Mike can tell a story, trust me. Mike can tell a story. And those two little adventures for him are classics. We're going to play them at the funeral. I'm going to stop it like, hey, yeah, hold on one second. Like, I know, he's dead, and we're all sad and all this, but let me play some funny stuff so that we can start the party, okay? And then we're going to throw those two out, Mike. Do you have better stories? Do you have any better stories? Because those are two of the best ones I've ever heard you tell.
Oh, man, I got a ton of stories.
Better than those, though. The one coming through Ramadi after you disarmed this... After you confiscated all those weapons, that's pretty funny.
Yeah, that was Jerry Durant. Shit.
the bullet magnet. Everywhere he went, you would get shot at. You want a combat action ribbon?
Yeah.
Hang out with Colonel Durant for 15 minutes.
Yeah. And like I said, that story wouldn't have been so damn funny had Jerry would have told us what we were doing out there that day. Not when we show up and I'm in the office and he's... use an interpreter and says, okay, hey, we're here to take all your weapons. And the guy was like, oh, the hell you are. And I'm sitting there going, shit. All right, who am I shooting first?
Hey, Mike, was that when you started applying your situational awareness to that, like you were talking about yesterday for self-defense?
Well, I didn't know that. Like I said, I didn't know we were going in there to take all their guns, you know? And so... You know, I'm like in there, we're drinking tea, we're talking, and all of a sudden, oh, hey, by the way, the reason we're here is we don't trust you assholes, and we're taking all your guns. And that went over, man, like a fart in church, man. That changed the whole dynamic
real quick.
Of the meat. So did you kind of shift your body to get near your weapon at that point? What did you do?
My hand was on my sidearm, man, big time at that point. So it would have been too obvious, and I don't want to escalate the situation by pointing my M4 at the guy. So
That's an awesome story. And then, so the story is, so they get out of that shit sandwich with the weapons, and as they're driving through Ramadi, the assholes...
Yeah,
where they
believe the asshole guy calls the bad guys and says, smoke these guys. So...
And they did.
And it's a fight.
And they did. And they did.
A fight all the way back.
Mike tells a story about the 50 cal going off, right, in the turret mount. Mike said, I've got, like, my hands over my head inside the Humvee, and this colonel, Jerry Durant, gets out and starts shooting, what, his 45
yeah.
or something?
No, he gets out and just, no, he, so we get in this big mass firefight. Everybody's firing, boom, 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 boom. And I get on the radio, I hear on the radio, sir, the colonel just got out of his truck. And I'm like, what? You know? And he was going over to talk to somebody. I'm like, what the hell?
He's that
guy. Oh, for crying out loud. Everybody stay in their vehicles. I'll go get them.
He's that guy. Here's another email.
Here's that guy.
The river story is the funniest. That's what the email says. The river story is funny. The funny part of the river story is the helpless nature that Musselman. Normally, he's not a helpless guy. Normally, he's got a weapon,
no.
Right? He's the gunner, all that. Not on the water, man. He's just another dude.
Yeah. You're on a freaking boat in the middle of the river. There's no place to hide, man. Cover. No cover and concealment on a boat.
This is entitled Upper Lip. Negative. I got a big fat one in now. I'm not a doctor, but I would venture to say there are less saliva glands up there. Your lower lip and gums will thank you. Oh, but what is your upper lip going to say? Hey, this is bullshit? Yeah.
Yeah, I want, where's my attention?
I want voice. Hey, don't I have something to say about this? Anyway. All right. Final comments. Montana Man, anything? It's Bastille Day today. Do you know the lyrics of the Marseillaise? Have you ever heard them?
No.
No.
But it's a beautiful song, right?
French.
Yeah. Right, and they sing it, and it's like, that's awesome. Oh, they talk about chopping people's heads off, they run the fields red with their blood. It's like, are you shitting me? It's a cry. I read the lyrics today. And I thought, you know, wow. So you have no thoughts on Bastille Day that you want to leave everybody with?
Good. Nope. Wasn't there for it.
Wasn't there. Montana Man, what about you?
Yeah, I'm with a gunner.
Oh, so.
And they're French. Why are we giving them the time of day?
I don't know. The president just went there. He did okay. He didn't do anything stupid.
Bunch of frogs. Yeah, he did.
What did he do?
He said to the First Lady of France,
she's pretty hot.
You know, how smoking hot she is right in front of his wife and her husband.
And in front of a TV camera. In front of a TV camera. It's like, you gotta be shitting me.
Did you imagine?
Man. No. Hey, whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa, you're hot.
You'd be like, yeah, you know your wife, someone's your buddy's wife at a dinner party, and you go, hey, by the way, your wife is smoking, man. She's got a smoking body. No, those are not the words you use.
Oh my god! I saw that. I was like, you gotta be shitting me, man. Guy has no sense. Guy has no sense at all. I got a serious email.
No filter. No filter.
He has no filter at all. You guys want to entertain a serious question?
Sure. I thought we were all being serious.
No, when are we not serious? We are serious, but this is the beauty of this program. It takes 90-degree turns. Hey Mac, just curious. One of the things that's come out of the preliminary statements that people have made, at least in the media, is that there was some kind of explosion on that KC-130. If it had been the fuel tank, there certainly would have been nothing left of the aircraft. So one is left to believe that some kind of ordnance event happened in midair. I heard you say the other day that that was disturbing because it's not like we don't do this on a regular basis and don't know how to do it. I'd be curious to hear what your fellow Marines have to say about that. Mike, your thoughts on that? I mean, it's certainly I think he's right in terms of if the fuel tank went, there'd be nothing left of the aircraft. So, your thoughts on it?
But you know, again, I don't want to draw conclusions when nothing's been done yet.
Right.
You know, I don't know.
Then talk about, I mean, aviation movement of ordnance. We do it all the time, yes? Do we normally separate it? Does it fly with packs? How do we normally do that?
Yeah, it usually sits on the back ramp.
Right.
You know, they pallet it down on the back ramp of the C-130.
And obviously, everything we use, safe to transport, I mean, we do it all the time in country in helicopters or whatnot. So it poses no inherent
danger. Yeah, tested against all that stuff.
Right. Montana Man, any thoughts?
So, I mean...
Well, go ahead, Mike.
Well, I just said, you know, I just hope it's not true.
Right.
You know, that it was something to do with, you know, the ordnance that the Marstock guys were carrying. But...
I mean, probability of that is low. Since we do it all the time, as you said, it's tested for that.
Yeah, there's no corners cut, especially with the Loadmaster guys. You know, it's their plane. Everything goes according to what they say.
All right, Montana Man.
All right, guys. My ride's here. I got to roll.
All right, hold on. Prediction, Yankees, Red Sox.
I think it's going to be 3-1 Red Sox.
All right, we're done with you. Goodbye.
All right, see ya.
All right, take care of that truck. All right. That's a pretty quiet truck here.
Prediction?
We'll get to that in a second, okay? Don't get carried away with yourself. I know you're salivating at it. Prediction. Go ahead.
You know what my prediction is.
What is it?
The Red Sox are going to sweep them.
You know, you're just saying that for effect. I know you don't believe that.
No. I'm just hoping for the best. Hey, have you heard the joke about the two soldiers and the Marine on a plane?
I have not.
Let me tell you real quick, and then we can leave. So, these two soldiers come on board the plane, and they find that the only two seats left are an aisle seat and a window seat, and the Marine's sitting in the middle. And they're all in uniform and in their camis. And so they get on board the plane, and plane takes off, and they're going for a while, and the two Army guys decide to play a prank on the Marine. So they say to the Marine, hey, would you mind, getting us a drink? And the Marine said, no, sure, no problem, man. Whatever I can do, you know, inter-service stuff, man, whatever. So the Marine gets up, goes back to see the flight attendant. While he's gone, he had taken his boots off, and one of the Army guys spits in one of his boots, and they're all chuckling about it. So the Marine comes back, hands a drink to the soldier. And then he's sitting there, and no sooner than he sit down and get comfortable, the other soldier says, you know what, that drink looks really nice. And the Marine said, do you want me to get you one? He said, yeah, if you don't mind. And so he gets up, and he walks back, and he goes get a drink from the flight attendant. And so the other soldier spits in the other boot. And they're both laughing. I mean, they think this is the funniest thing ever. Well, the plane, after a while, gets ready to land. And as they're coming down and touch down, the Marine goes and puts his boots on and immediately knows what had happened. And he looks over at the guys, and the two Army guys got these biggest shit-eating grins. And the Marine looks at him and goes, guys, come on. The animosity, this is crazy. This is child stuff. Why do we got to resort to spitting in boots and peeing in drinks?
I knew that was coming. The bottom line
that's
is,
good, huh?
Yeah. Be careful who delivers you your drinks. All right. I think they'll split. And four game series, I think it'll be 2-2. And if you want my honest assessment, if it's not 2-2, it'll be 3-1 Red Sox.
I think it's gonna be more 3-1. I'm just hoping for the best. I just want I want the Red Sox just to put this there.
But here's what I want. What I'd really like is the Yankees to sweep them, only because the hate involved in this rivalry is so good. Honestly, if you ever want to, if you haven't been to a Yankee Red Sox game in your life, you need to go, because the hate is through the it's through the overhead. It's awesome, and it goes back.
There's still some respect there.
Oh no,
it's
there's
hatred.
No,
we're not beating guys up.
No.
Oakland.
No, it's
not like going to Oakland and you lose your life.
Yeah, no, it's fun. It's fun when you get on the subway going to Yankee Stadium. You know, everybody's got a T-shirt on, a Red Sox T-shirt, a Yankee T-shirt, you know, and there's just very cool, you know, energy. And then you get off on the subway platforms or you're outside Fenway Park, and it's awesome. And so I would tell you, it's one of the greatest rivalries in sports. And when they're neck and neck, it's even it's on steroids. It's awesome. It's awesome. So that's why what I want is the Yankees to close it down, and all through July, August, and September, them to be neck and neck. Although I'm not sure that, given that the Yankees lost another starting pitcher, I'm not sure that they can stay that close. But anyway, all right, man. I appreciate it.
Right,
thanks for coming on, man. Have a good weekend.
Yeah. Que sera, sera.
Que sera, sera. There you have it. There you go. His French right there, Mike Musselman. See you later, Gunner. That is, oh, man. But that, tell me, those guys aren't funny. That stuff's awesome. We'll take a quick break, wrap things up on the backside. More of All Marine Radio coming up next.